This is Generation Swap. While the world talks about a generation gap,
we talk about generational connection. Our guests, we call them swap mates, discuss goals, passions, and values, helping each other figure out life.
Keep listening for more. Hello and welcome. I'm Gary Eberle, Professor Emeritus of English at Aquinas College, and I'm your host today for this podcast featuring swap mates Steve Murray and Olivia White. Generation Swap is an intergenerational learning program at Aquinas College in which we pair traditional-aged Aquinas College students and students from the college's Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, or OLLI. OLLI students are all aged 55 and older, with an average age of about 73, and the younger students, of course, are aged about 20 to 22. And this year, we've been exploring how relationships can develop between and across generations. Each month, all of our swap mate participants would meet as a larger group to discuss general topics of interest. And then each set of partners would also meet at least once in between group meetings to talk about or do anything they pleased. We hoped to learn some things in the process about communication, about relationships, especially about relationships between generations. And today we'll hear from Steve Murray and Olivia White, who've been meeting together for the past 9 months about, both individually and with the whole group of swap mates. So Steve and Olivia, welcome.
Thank you.
And I'm going to ask you both to start with a few facts about yourself, including your age.
All right. Well, I'm Olivia White. I am 19 years old, and I'm obviously a traditional Aquinas student, and I'm on the Aquinas dance team.
Dance team, yeah.
Yes.
And Steve?
Steve Murray. I am just under the average age. I'm 72.
Okay.
And I've been enjoying OLLI classes for about 6 or 7 years now.
Great. And you're one of our frequent flyers.
Yes.
Yes. So that's about a 50-year difference mm-hmm. between the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
And when we met last fall with the whole group of participants, early in the fall, we began this getting to know you experiment because you two had never met before.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And we began in back in early September with some icebreaking exercises. And at that time, we got our first impressions of each other. And so do you even remember what your first impression was of Steve and Olivia of each other?
So I was nervous before even getting here because we didn't really know. We weren't given much information on how this would work, really, except we were going to get a swap mate. But you had a really nice and welcoming vibe. So I wasn't as scared after meeting you and seeing like your turtle card that you picked.
Yes.
So I remember you picked the turtle
card. Camp Schulte's cards.
Oh, yes. The icebreaker cards. We picked animal cards and had to explain why we chose those cards. Mm-hmm. We may get back to that.
She has a much better memory than I do.
What was your first impression of Olivia?
Just that she was very into the arts. I know she into plays and music and dancing and hand, artwork.
Yes, yeah. Crocheting,
artsy.
Oh, that kind of thing, yeah.
Yep.
And you are leaving, as we speak, you are leaving for Florida tomorrow Aquinas dance team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Steve and I will be here in cold Grand Rapids.
Send you nice pictures.
Yeah. Oh,
good. Thanks.
And so when we started this, we said we're going to see what happens. It was an open-ended experiment. We've been doing pilot projects for the last 3 or 4 years. The idea was, what would happen if we put people who otherwise didn't know each other from generations that are about 50 years apart, but you're not grandfather, granddaughter, you're not related. In fact, you'd never met before.
Right.
And so tell me a little bit about how that whole process went.
For me, it was definitely different because throughout high school, there was like assignments where I was like, go interview your grandpa about this time in his life that he experienced. And so it was definitely a different experience getting to know someone that was not family. And it was like, how do I talk to someone that's like not my age? Because you may not know like the brain rot terms that we call it now, but it's so weird. But it was nice getting to like disassociate with that, because that's not, brain rot's not a good thing to really associate with. But getting away from the trends and things like that from this, from my world, and seeing what your world is like.
Uh-huh.
That's different.
So was it a question of getting over some stereotypes, generational stereotypes, do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many stereotypes I had besides just my grandma and my grandpa.
Steve, how about you from the other end of the equation?
Yeah, a little nervousness because I have several grandchildren, but none exactly her age. One's a little older, and then we have several younger ones. So young women just going off to college. Especially this time, I think, in our country and maybe the world, everything's a little bit edgy, and yeah, you're not sure what you can talk about all the time with a stranger, someone you don't know.
Yeah.
And so, but it's been very
the more we met, we were able to like find out what we could talk about. Yes. We could find out each other's views of, with everything going on, we were able to break those barriers and get more comfortable about talking about it.
Right, and that's one of the things we mentioned in that very first meeting, was this business of building a relationship over time involves gradually uncovering another person and finding out the third dimension, you know, that we get you out of the box that we put one another in, especially generational boxes. We make certain assumptions. So what did you, and we're going to explore some of these areas, but what did you learn? What surprised you? What came true that you expected and so on?
Well, our last conversation, I didn't expect you to get so vulnerable. I won't bring it up, it was kind of comforting that to know you felt comfortable enough with me to open up and show that kind of emotion. And it was just nice that knowing we've been friends and we've been building this relationship, it's paying off.
And it took time.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's something we tried to emphasize at the beginning, was that you can't expect to go from 0 to 60 in one meeting. And even in past years, we did one semester. Mm-hmm. So basically we had 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
And this year we decided to stretch it to 8 or 9 months. And so that's good news, that it takes a while to open up. And we don't expect this to turn into, you know, a big sensitivity session or anything.
Yeah.
But to share parts of yourself that maybe otherwise you wouldn't. Steve, how about you?
Yeah, it's been very interesting. I think I've come to know, my opinion anyway, is that Olivia is a very quiet person verbally. She doesn't talk a lot, but she's very active physically. She's got a lot of part-time jobs and volunteer things she's doing around campus all the time, and she's always running here and there, and I've learned a lot about the moose here on campus. But,
yeah. We love the moose. That's where we would hang out most of the time before it closed.
Oh, good. It's closed.
Well, they closed early. Their hours were like 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., but now they close at 2 p.m.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's
now
too bad. That's one of my happy places, too. Now, I will say that for somebody who's not talkative, you're doing just fine this afternoon.
Thank goodness.
So maybe one of the objectives was to learn about the other generation. And can you generalize how maybe your relationship changed how you view these people that are 50 years older or 50 years younger than you are?
Our views are just very different. Like, we grew up with different, like, our parents had different standards for us, and so that we would grow up following those standards, and so like we had different paths, and so seeing those paths we went on were very different. And just comparing those. We had one of our meetings, we were trying to figure out our similarities in early childhood, and we did not have very many, except for our interest in animals. So,
well, there's something to start building a bridge. Yeah.
So,
do you, Well, go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, sometimes you learn more about a person, though, if you do have differences. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not carbon copies of each other, which is a good thing.
How many of those do you think were unique to you, and how many of those belonged to the times you were raised in? Or can you separate those two?
I want to say more unique to us. I feel like there weren't a lot of just general things that can connect to everyone, because like everyone's not the same. We'll have similar experiences, but even then our experiences are still different from each other's. Mm-hmm. So like, I think it's still unique to us.
Yeah, so you're kind of thrown into the world at a particular time and place, and then you react to it in your own unique way, and there may be some, I guess, universals.
Yeah.
And then some unique little bumps that belong to each of us separately.
Yeah.
Is that true?
And that's what makes us interesting, is our bumps in the road. Mm. If everything is smooth, you become vanilla and plain, but...
Yeah.
Certainly, as I reflect on it, and the couple of times I've done this experiment with others, I think the assumptions about how we make friends, how we communicate, life expectations are different than they were 50 years ago. I just keep remembering that one question from one of the Aquinas younger students, who said... I think I'm curious about is, how did you all meet each other before cell phones?
Yeah. Forgot about that question.
I thought he was putting me on, and he wasn't. And I realized, wow, is that a difference?
I'm in my second marriage now, and Penny and I have been married about 14 years. Neither one of us are technology
savvy.
Right. Thank you for the word.
You're so welcome.
But we met online through a dating thing, you know, online. Of course, when we were in our 50s, you're not going to go out to the bar to meet, you know, someone. But yeah, so we use technology to meet. But
yeah,
okay,
vastly different than how people are now. Like I don't use it, but I know people are using like Tinder, and that idea scares me. But
it's a wild west out there, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm avoiding that. Yeah. I don't need that. But
it's interesting. Whereas you have grown up what they call a native. Never knowing a time without it. Mm-hmm. Steve and I have had to be learners of that whole thing. And so we're like immigrants into this electronic world. But we somehow learn to adapt. Adapt is exactly the word. Yeah. I wonder what things don't change from generation to generation.
You know, I think back 50 years, I don't know if I was worried about my future or I just was too dumb to know, you know, what could happen in the future. I just took it a day at a time, a year at a time. I don't know if it's different nowadays with the technology.
Yeah. Well, before coming to college, I didn't really worry about my future until my senior year, where I was like, oh, I have to go to college. I have to figure this out. That was when I started worrying. And the only issues that arise now, I think, are the topic of AI stealing some jobs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
For my career, I don't think I have to worry that much, but you know, there's still a chance that it could take many jobs. It still has already. So that can be a concern for many people, and that scares them maybe away from college in general before they even get here.
Well, and that is a huge question mark. I mean, when Steve and I were your age, there was robotics was probably the threat. And somehow we survived and adapted, and the world changed, and now there's this new thing, which makes me very uneasy as someone who used to teach writing.
Yeah.
That this is generated by a student or by a computer, I don't know. And that'll be your generation's challenge of doing that. I'm thinking more of like universal things, of the getting to know you stuff, of the... aren't there some things underneath that as we develop relationships, not just between you two, but generally speaking, where there are going to be certain constants, fear and uncertainty at the beginning and then gradual.
Yeah, I think that's always the struggle when you first meet a person, because you're like, how do I bring up this topic? Like, I don't know how they're going to feel if I mention this. Like, what are their views on so-and-so? Or like, that can be the struggle, but the more you talk about like, hey, what's your favorite color? You like this color? You know what I think of when I think of this color? Like the yellow is like, I associate with that with the sun. Like, do you like nature? Like once you get a flow of it, then you get more comfortable. And then it starts with a basic conversation, a basic like question, such as the favorite color or like, when's your birthday? I was born in that month too. I don't.
Well, moving beyond that sort of cocktail party chit chat, right?
Yeah.
Is the challenge, and it doesn't work with every person that you meet, right? But learning to sense those limits is extremely important. Mm-hmm. My observation is that the media that we use are making us ruder. Mm. And that is to do with what you're talking about, Olivia, mm-hmm. of a gradual feeling the boundaries of what's acceptable, unacceptable to this person I'm relating to, is eroding quickly. And we come out of the box angry sometimes, or we make assumptions about people.
Yeah.
And so this kind of experience, real time, real space sharing, is... growing more and more unusual.
Mm. Yeah, I know obviously with technology advancing, more people have been making friends online and then they live in different states. So like there's a very low chance that you'll see them or meet them because most people don't have access to like transportation or don't have the money to afford that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so then with that, like we also have a shorter attention span now because of like TikTok is only like, you can make it 30 seconds, 10 seconds. And so then it's even harder to keep us engaged with like conversations if you don't find it intriguing, and like that's when someone can pull out their phone and that just means they're bored of you.
Yeah, that's always that escape hatch, isn't there?
Yeah.
That you signal other people by referring to your phone, and that means I'm unavailable right now.
Yeah.
And I've certainly seen it, you know, on the subways in New York and that kind of thing, are people just building that cocoon around them.
Yeah.
And I get it. I do it, have done it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so dropping the guard and just taking the chance that you two took and in coming with us on this journey, I thought was fascinating and good, a good thing for everybody. We get caught in what they call age silos, you know, and so we speak to people our age, but not across generations. Mm-hmm. And obviously from your experience, there's a lot to learn on both fronts. We carefully avoid mentor-mentee labels. We're all students.
Yes.
Okay. Students, there are some of us are older, some of us are younger, and some of us then also teach on both sides of that equation. Now, we've talked about various topics over the year. Work-life balance, we talked about community engagement, different personality styles. Was there anything in particular you learned about any of those areas that we talked about in the big group meetings that you were able to apply in your day-to-day?
I really liked the work-life balance one because as a student athlete, I can struggle with forgetting homework assignments that are due and learning how to build those boundaries. I am a student first. I need to figure out how to manage my time wisely, and hearing other tips from the other generation, it was nice because when we meet, we don't have any like planned questions. We just kind of go into it and we kind of just go from there.
Well, that's good. That's good. And you're comfortable enough to do that.
Yes.
Yeah. I've found that since retiring, it's a different balance. You don't have the daily job you have to go to every day, but now it's, some days are really busy and hectic. Other days are very quiet. So it's adjusting to that. I do a lot of, well, maybe not a lot, but some volunteer things and Ollie classes and to keep myself busy.
So you're
busy.
Not at a shortage of things to do.
No.
And of course, for those of us beyond a certain age, we don't have the time pressures that somebody just starting out in her career would have. And so I hope that some of the things we said in that session and in follow-up conversations were helpful to you so that say, oh, yeah, it's a question of values, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We talked a lot about values in that session.
Yeah.
Decision-making, all the stuff you're talking about. Has this experience maybe made you more open to other personality styles, other people, other ways of being?
Yes. So with my education program, I get to observe and meet with teachers, and so they have vastly different years of experience, and so I already am pushing myself out there to get to know them, and it's kind of fun. And like one plane ride, I sat next to this really nice old lady, and she was telling me like all her stories about growing up in like Brooklyn, New York, because I'm not from there. So like hearing those experiences was vastly different than what I grew up with. Yeah. And it's just more exciting too, because sometimes you'll have more encouragement to talk to a stranger because they don't know you. And so you get to make a decision on how you want to make that first impression. Do you want to make a bad first impression or a good first impression? And I just think it's so fun now meeting more people of different ages because, you know, sometimes people my age can be boring. I mean, in the nicest way possible, but, you know, like we're just so, you know, with the short attention span now, it's hard to keep each other engaged in conversation.
People of any age can be boring.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think that way sometimes too in Ali class. I'm, boy, old people are, oh, wait a minute. That's my people. But young people, yeah, are so much more alive and active. And
yet you've remained active, Steve.
Yes,
by
somewhat.
Your choice.
Yes.
And as active as you want to be.
Right.
So it's not that you disengage and you're living in the past only, but you have a very active present life of engagement in the world.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it's been a good year for you. Let's wrap up with sort of your final thoughts of this, what started out as an open-ended experiment. And now we're at the end, or at least a parting point of a certain stage of this. What do you think? Is it a good idea?
I really liked it. This was my first year doing it, so I really enjoyed it, and I'm excited to do it again next year. So,
and I'm glad, too, that you went to the two-semester or whole-year format instead of just the half-year, yes.
I didn't experience
that. The only thing I still like to have is I want Olivia to meet my dog, Virgil, yet. So I'm going to bring Virgil. I'll meet her, you know, before she gets out for the year.
You guys do that.
Yeah, we will.
Well, thanks so much for talking with us today. This is Generation Swap. Check us out at generationswap.com. All one word, .com. We're housed at Aquinas College. And thank you both for participating.
Certainly. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Generation Swap is a production of the Aquinas College Advantage Center. You can find our show wherever you get your podcasts or at generationswap.com. Our career and connections expert is Dr. Dana Hebriard. Our producer is John Griffin. I'm Cindy Camp, Generation Swap creator. Thank you for spending time with us today. We're looking forward to swapping stories with you again soon.